Kataksha, so repeat after me. Kataksha kirana chanta. Kataksha kirana chanta. Naman moha dhyaye namaha. Naman moha dhyaye namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. Anantananda Krishnaya. Jagan Mangala Murtiye. Jagan Mangala Murtiye. Did you, yours has a typo in it. You haven't fixed it. It's Mohabdiye. Mohabdiye. Do you see that?
With a B?
Yeah, Mohab. Mohabdiye.
So, not a D. Oh, and a B.
Yeah, a B. Mohabdiye.
Got it.
So let's chant this line together. Kataksha Kiranat. Together. Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Naman Mohabdiye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. Jagan Mangala Murtiye. Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Naman Mohabdiye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. Jagan Mangala Murtiye. Ahamasmi Sada Bhami. Ahamasmi Sada Bhami. Kadachinnahamapriyaha. Kadachinnahamapriyaha. Brahmai Bahamatasiddham. Brahmai Bahamatasiddham. Satchidananda Lakshanam. Satchidananda Lakshanam. Together. Ahamasmi Sada Bhami. Kadachinnahamapriyaha. Brahmai Bahamatasiddham. Satchidananda Lakshanam. Ahamasmi Sada Bhami. Kadachinnahamapriyaha. Brahmai Bahamatasiddham. Satchidananda Lakshanam. Mayevo Deti Chidvyomni.
Mayevo Deti Chidvyomni.
Jagadgandharva Pattanam.
Jagadgandharva Pattanam.
Atohan Naktam Brahma.
Atohan Naktam Brahma.
Sarvajnam Sarvakaranam.
Sarvajnam Sarvakaranam.
Mayevo Deti Chidvyomni.
Mayevo Deti Chidvyomni.
Jagadgandharva Pattanam.
Jagadgandharva Pattanam.
Atohan Nakatam Brahma.
Atohan Nakatam Brahma.
Sarvajnam Sarvakaranam.
Sarvajnam Sarvakaranam.
Sandhi. Mayi. Mayi Eva Udeti Chit Vyomni Jagat Gandharva Patanam Ataha Aham Na Katam Brahma Sarvajnam Sarvakaranam.
Did you say Chit?
Chit
Vyomni?
Vyomni,
okay.
V-Y.
I don't have a B in mine.
Ooh.
Chit.
Sorry.
Oh,
another typo. It should be chit chid vyo.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Nope, it's not there. Chid vyomni.
Boy.
Oh, well. I'll fix this. Just like this other one is now fixed on the site. This will be fixed on the site, too, as I find these typos. I want to look up one word here that I forgot to. Patana for city. It's just that I'm not used to seeing that word. I forgot to check on it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Patana, a town or a city. Patana. Okay. Mayi, in me, locative singular, Eva indeed, Udeti. Like, that's like Udgachati, it rises up, you know, springs up, rises up. Udeti, third person singular. So, Mayi, in me, Eva indeed, in me, or Eva indeed are alone and declinable. In me alone, Udeti rises up. Chit Vyomni. Vyomni, Vyomen means space. Mm-hmm. Vyomni, in the space of chit, in the space of consciousness. So the idea, in the space, which is consciousness, in the consciousness, which is like space, but in English, we just say like in the space of consciousness, okay? Chit is consciousness. So in me, in me alone, rises up. So now we've got two locatives. Mayi, in me, the space of consciousness. Who am the space, the consciousness, the space of consciousness. So there's metaphors, double metaphors, you'll see. Jagat, the universe. Jagat is everything that exists within time and space, the creation, the Jagat. Gandharva Patanam, this Gandharva, city of the Gandharvas. When we say Gandharva Patanam, we mean like a city in the sky. If you look up into the space, and you can see in the clouds, for instance, appear like a city. They may look like a city. Or, you know, we call it the Gandharva Patana. Like a city in the clouds, or they're like the city, like a city in space.
Patana, right? Means city.
City or town. Gandharva Patana means like it's like a mirage city. If you look up into the sky, say if you, Swamiji, use the examples. So if you're looking at like a formation of clouds, and those clouds look like a city, right? So you see like a city in the sky.
I thought Gandharvas were celestial musicians.
They are the celestial beings. But if you say Gandharva Patana, it has that sense of, you know, you imagine a city, you're seeing as though seen from the cloud formations or the different reflection of the sun. You see in the sky a city. It's called Gandharva Patana. But yes, the Gandharvas are one of the lokas. And of the different lokas, the different worlds above this Bhuloka, the Gandharva loka is a loka, and they're mostly celestial musicians in that loka.
When they say different worlds, you mean another plane of existence like this?
The Bhuloka is the middle yeah. plane where there's Kartritvam and Bhoktritvam, doership and enjoyership. Then there's seven lokas up, each more subtle than the other.
Okay, so the loka is like what we're having now?
It's a world of experience. It's a more subtle world, but you're like your dream world, mm-hmm. you know. But still you take, as you reincarnate, you can be exhausting some of your karmas on more subtle planes, below and above.
Yeah.
Those are called the different lokas.
One more thing. Is it like a world that's going on? Like we have a world here that's going on. Is the other loka another coexisting world that's going on like this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. More subtle, but it's a world. Mm-hmm. World of experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, here it says... So you see chit and jagat are what we're talking about, and then Vyomni and Gandharva Patanam, like a celestial city in the sky, you know, but it means you're looking up and you can see that it's existing really in the space, okay? So in me, the space of rises, in me, the space of consciousness, in the space of consciousness, there rises the universe, like a Gandharva Patanam, the Gandharva Patanam of the universe. You see the metaphor going with the jagat, the metaphor going with the chit. So, mayi eva udeti, chit vyomni, jagat Gandharva Patanam. Ataha, therefore, aham I, nakatam brahma. Therefore, how can I not be Brahman? Right? No, not. Katam, how? How can I not be Brahman? Brahman, who is sarvajñam, omniscient, all knowledge, and sarvakaranam, the cause of all. Okay. So again, just like in the previous verse, there's first showing who I am, and we've had to differentiate consciousness itself from all experience. And once consciousness is differentiated from everything that can be objectified, then everything that is objectified exists in me. See, once I differentiate my being, consciousness, from all of the things that I have superimposed on consciousness, everything that can be objectified, once I make that differentiation, then everything exists in me. Until I make that differentiation, I take myself to exist in it, right? But what about once I've made the differentiation, then the body, mind, sense organs, thoughts, moods, emotions, the ahankara, everything that makes me as an individual within the creation now belongs to the creation, and the Atma, the self, has been freed from identification with those things. See what I mean? Once that happens, then this body exists like a wave in the ocean and exists as an entity within the creation, and I am the one who is the witness of the creation. Right? I'm not objectifiable. When that's the case, then it's not that I exist in the creation, it's that the creation exists in me. Is that little piece of logic clear for you, Kiki?
Mm-hmm.
Because until this differentiation is done, there can't be, there's no Mahavakya.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Aham Brahmasmi. There's no I am Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of these, like in the preceding one, it also says Aham Asmi Sada, I always am, I always exist, I am always consciousness, I'm never not beloved to myself. Once that is made clear, like once I say I always exist, I am now differentiated from everything within the creation, because everything within the creation is bound by time and space. So I am the consciousness that always exists. Now there is no, can be no identification with anything within the creation, which includes my body, mind, sense organs. And so therefore, once I say I always am, I always exist, then what we call the lakshana of Brahman has to apply to me. A lakshana, you have to remember this definition again of lakshana. It means that definition which is only true to that particular thing. It can't be extended to anything else. That's what makes it a lakshana. Mm-hmm. And so the lakshana for Brahman is Sat Chit Ananda, right? Brahman is existence, which is consciousness, which is limitless. That's the lakshana for Brahman. There's no application for that anywhere else. And so therefore, if my nature fits that lakshana, I have to be Brahman, because that lakshana only applies to Brahman. And so if it applies to me also, there's no also. Right? So therefore, I must be Brahman by the very definition of lakshana. So that's where he starts in the second verse, I always am, aham asmi sada, I always shine, aham asmi bhami, then kadachin naham apriyaha, never am I not dear to myself. That's the ananda. So there's sada running all the way through that. Sada means always. So I am always sat chit ananda. Therefore I am Brahman. That's the logic there. So here he's doing the same type of logic, which is the very teaching, the Mahavakya is Vedanta. That's the pramana. What is the Vedanta pramana? It's the Mahavakya. All these other things that are taught, in a sense, in terms of differentiating consciousness, the awareness from what I'm aware of, that can all be done through experience, through logic even. But the Mahavakya is the recognition that this conscious being is the self in all beings, right? The aham brahmasmi, or I am Ishwara, that this self that I am, that I'm now differentiated from body, mind, sense organs, is actually the self of the whole. That's the whole teaching of Vedanta. And so now he continually is going through this Mahavakya, line by line, first showing who I am, and then that the self that I am is the very lakshana for Brahman. That's the process that's going on. So he says, in me, in this space of consciousness, in me alone, rises the Jagat, like the Gandharva Patanam. Okay, so here, to get to that position, another way of saying it is that all experience that I have, every experience that exists within duality, from the ahankara, from the I notion, to all the vrittis in my mind, to all of what I consider to be external, all of these experiences are rising and setting in consciousness, which itself doesn't rise and set. So every experience I have comes into being in consciousness and goes out of being in consciousness. And so it's like a Gandharva Patanam, right? It's like everything is like a Gandharva Patanam. It's something that's appearing in consciousness, you know, coming and going in consciousness. All my experience is like that. So you can go into here, even in terms of the experience that you have in the creation, in reference to the creation, or in reference to duality, all experience that you have is only known through the vritti, through the antakarana vritti. So what is actually happening in terms of the totality of your experience is the rising and setting vritti after vritti after vritti after vritti. So Swamiji is using another word now. He's saying the vrittis, each vritti encloses an experience. He's using the word enclose. I haven't quite got used to it yet, but this is another word that he's introducing. Because he keeps looking for words to kind of give you a fresh, fresh way of thinking of it. This external, what we call external reality, what I am, reality that I'm perceiving through my sense perception, right? This reality is known to me through the vritti. So he'll say the vritti, the thought modification, encloses different experiences. So the vritti is enclosing what I'm perceiving through my eyes, right? So, but the idea is there is no experience at all that is not enclosed by vritti. You understand how he's using the term? You can't have an experience, like there is no experience of this physical world without a vritti. And the vritti requires, and in terms of the experience of the physical world, you need your sense organs, sense perception, that gives an antakarana vritti, you know, which is true to, I mean, if it's jnanam, if it's knowledge, you know, it's true to the physical reality that you're experiencing. But the actual experience that you're having is only known through the vritti. That's why, you know, you can have your sense organs open and present to the situation that you find yourself in, but what you're experiencing is the vritti. And so if your vritti, say your mind is daydreaming, what you're experiencing is the daydream. You can only experience the physical world through the sense organs if the vritti is backing the sense organs, is using the sense organs. So whatever the vritti is doing, whether it's, you know, nodding off or it's nodding off, or whether it's, you know, engaging the sense organs, or it's daydreaming, whatever it is doing is what you're perceiving. And so then again, the vritti, whatever the vritti is enclosing, as Swamiji uses the term, so whatever the vritti is enclosing, that vritti itself must be illumined by awareness, right? If the vritti is not illumined by awareness, it's not known, okay? And so now, with that, we would say, okay, the vrittis themselves come and go within awareness. So here he's saying within the space of awareness. Just like the city, the Gandharva Patanam, you know, presents itself, comes and goes within the space. The space is really the substance of what is actually there. The Gandharva Patanam appears and dissolves into that space. Like that, every experience that I have appears and dissolves within the space of consciousness. So the consciousness itself doesn't appear and resolve. The consciousness itself is the very substance of what is actually there. And so if something is appearing and resolving in consciousness, it itself has no independent reality because it's appearing and disappearing in the consciousness, which remains as the very substance of the experience. So it is the very space in which these experiences take place, but the experiences have no being apart from the consciousness because the experiences appear and disappear, appear and disappear, appear and disappear. So the experiences themselves are mithya. Mithya means they have no independent existence. Now, when we do the kind of drik-drisha, the drik-drisha viveka, why we're doing that, you see, if you start with a seer-seeing differentiation, why we're doing that is to enable the mind to differentiate what is changeless and stable from what is which is continually changing and objectifiable. Anything objectifiable means I'm become a witness to it, exists within duality. Anything that I can actually have a subject-object relationship, anything that can be objectified, it exists within duality. If it exists within duality, it's limited, because duality means there is something which it isn't, right? For there to be duality, there has to be two things or more. And so anything that I experience with duality is by its very nature limited, and is existing as part of a whole, right? Because once you have two, right, anything becomes part of a component of whatever the whole is. And so within the duality, any component which is part of the whole, it is existing as part of the conglomerate, and one of the nature of this creation, of all of the parts, is one of, you know, infinite change. In other words, there's nothing in the creation. The more we analyze the creation, the more you realize that on every level of the creation, there's change. In other words, if you go into smaller and smaller and smaller components of the creation, you continue to recognize change. And within this creation, you can't escape the nature of change. So you have two things. Now you've got two things. The creation, first of all, is objectifiable. So there's a subject-object differentiation. If it's objectifiable, then there's a second thing, right? So you've got the part to the whole, and everything within that creation is subject to change, number one. Subject to change, so it's subject to time, subject to space, subject to infinite division. Any object is subject to infinite division. That's what we call names within names. Right? Namni, namani, names within names. So you can't, what that means is within this objectifiable creation, everything is a part to the whole. Everything is infinitely divisible, and everything is subject to time. Right? That's the nature of the creation. And so, if you just take the time alone, everything that is objectifiable is subject to coming into being and going out of being, coming into being, going out of being. There's nothing that's free of that. What that means then, coming into being and going out of being, coming into being and going out of being, of that which is being itself. In other words, it's coming into being, which is me, and going out of being, which is me. Being doesn't come into being or go out of being, right? So the creation, my experience, every experience that I have of this objectifiable creation is coming into existence and going out of existence, coming into existence, going out of existence. Just like the Gandharva Patanam. So I also, from Ishwara's standpoint, it's the whole jagat, the whole creation coming into being, going out of being, coming into being, going out of being, bound by constant change. The Chidvyomni for Brahman also, the Chidvyomni, the entire creation comes into being, goes out of being, comes into being, goes out, every part of it, right? It comes into being and going out of being, in the space of consciousness. But for me also, everything, every experience that I have, without any exception, comes into being and goes out of being, comes into being, goes out of being. The only thing that doesn't come into being and go out of being is me, is the consciousness itself. The consciousness itself is the only thing that can't be objectified. So whether you're going to look like this, consciousness can't be objectified, and so it doesn't participate as a member of the creation, as a part to the whole. Two things. It doesn't participate as the whole, and it doesn't participate as a part to the whole, because it's not objectifiable. So it is only the eternal subject, right? From the standpoint of consciousness, there is no object. There's no objectification of consciousness, because then consciousness would have to be aware of consciousness as something other than consciousness. Consciousness aware of consciousness, what's between the consciousness and the consciousness that you're aware of, for there to be a subject-object relationship. Consciousness is known because it's self-evident, not because it's objectified. So you can say, I exist, I am a conscious being. And what if I were to say, well, how do you know that? Do you see the consciousness? Do you see the existence? No, I don't see consciousness. I don't see the existence. Do you experience it? Well, I experience it as myself, not as an object. Right? I am the experience. I'm not looking at the experience or objectifying the experience. I am the experience. It's not something, and being the experience, it's not something that I can negate, because it's not objectifiable. To exist within duality, to be subject to time, you know, or differentiate, and it's not subject to time, because it's not an object in the creation, and yet I am, I shine. Not subject-object, but because I am the consciousness itself. And so, that being so, consciousness not being objectifiable, it's not objectifiable. The consciousness that I am is not objectifiable. The consciousness that you are is not objectifiable. The consciousness that Ishwara is not objectifiable. So now I've just said, the consciousness that you are, the consciousness that Ishwara is, the consciousness that I am, is not objectifiable. How is the consciousness that I am different from the consciousness that you are, different from the consciousness that Ishwara is, if it's not objectifiable? Because where can there be any division? Like, for instance, if I say here, within duality, within this world of difference, that we can differentiate one object from the other, I can say that I am different from you, I am different from you, and I am different from Ishwara. I can say from Ishwara, I can say I am part of Ishwara, but I can't say I am Ishwara, because Ishwara is the whole. Right? So I, from what can be differentiated within duality, I am part of the whole, and I am different from all the other parts in the whole. So I am different from you. And I am different from Ishwara. I'm a part of the whole, I'm not the whole. But that's within the creation, which is that duality and difference is allotted to me, right? Because it is within duality where one thing is different from another. But from consciousness itself, which I can't objectify, how can I perform the differentiation to say that I am different from you? In what, or I am different from Ishwara? In what regard am I different from you? We can't say the bodies, because the bodies are objectifiable. So even though the bodies are different, they can't touch consciousness because they're objectifiable and exist within duality. And you can say that about everything that you had a self-identity with. What about the sense organs? What about the mind, the thoughts, the emotions, the I thought, even space itself, space and time? All of these are objectifiable. They exist within the creation. And so any type, anything that is subject to duality being objectifiable can be used to, you can differentiate within that objectifiable reality, but how can it touch the nature of me, the subject, which doesn't participate in that duality, to make me different from you? See what I mean? So my body's different from yours, and my sense organs different, obviously, my thoughts different, my moods different, the I thought different, memories different, situation different, location different, I'm here, you're there, you know, time different, people existed prior to me and will exist in the future, time-wise different, you know. But all of those things exist within the dual creation, which is objectifiable and subject to time, subject to change, subject to space. But how does that touch the conscious being, me, in whom all of these changes exist? How does it touch it? So we say that the consciousness that I am, is the consciousness that you are, is the consciousness that Ishvara is. So here in this logic, it says, in me as an individual, the entire jagat, the world of experience, rises like a Gandharva Patanam. In me, who am the space of consciousness, there is, for me, from even the Vyashti, the individual standpoint, every experience that I have is rising and setting in consciousness, right? And everything within the jagat, whether I look at it in the Vyashti, means from the individual standpoint, or the Sameshti, everything is subject to change and is rising and setting in consciousness. Consciousness is not objectifiable. And so the experience that I have in reference to the creation, in reference to consciousness, is exactly the experience that Ishvara has in terms of the experience of the jagat in reference to consciousness, right? Or the dream has in reference to consciousness, or any manifestation within duality is in reference to consciousness. Consciousness is the changeless space in which the creation rises and sets. So whether it's the Vyashti experience of the rising and setting, the change of the creation, or the Sameshti experience of the rising and setting of the creation, that experience is exactly the same. There's no difference in the relationship. One is the non-objectifiable subject, which is Sat-Chit, and the other is the creation. Now, whether the creation be what we call Vyavaharika Satyam, Vyavaharika Satyam means Ishvara Srishti, Ishvara's creation. The Vyavahara means shared reality. So the Vyavaharika Satyam means this creation that I experience that is not my personal projection. Right? That's the Ishvara Srishti. Then there's also, as part of the creation, what we call Jiva Srishti, the Pratibhasika Satyam. Jiva Srishti is what I project. It's the snake on the rope. Right? The snake on the rope, or the projection that is projected upon the physical reality that is subjective only to me. So whether it be a subjective experience or an objective experience, both subjective and objective equally exist within duality. So are equally maya. That's another thing important. Both are equally mitya. Whether it be your dream or your imagination or your projection or the Ishvara Srishti, you know, which is a shared reality upon which you project. That's the Ishvara Srishti, the Vyavaharika Satyam. Whether it be the Vyavaharika Satyam or Pratibhasika, your projection, both are equally mitya, both are equally maya. You can say, well, the Pratibhasika doesn't have the same reality as the Vyavaharika. In what sense? The dream isn't as real as the waking. In what sense? Only in reference to each other. Only in reference to each other. Both are equally maya, both are equally mitya, from the standpoint of satyam, of the paramarthika satyam, of the absolute reality. both are equally mitya, both are equally maya. You can say that the dream, the paribhasika, you know, doesn't have the longevity and it exists within the vyavaharika. That's fine, but it doesn't make the vyavaharika real. It doesn't make the vyavaharika or Ishwara Srishti any more real than the Jiva Srishti from the standpoint of Paramarthika Satyam, what is absolutely real. Mm-hmm. So both Pratibhasika and Vyavaharika exist within our mitya and our maya. Right? And so, that being so, even when you look now from the Vyashti, the individual standpoint, or the Samishti, the collective Ishwara Srishti, in your experience, maya is maya, right? Maya mitya is mitya. And so, in you, the chid vyomni, the mitya creation, both pratibhasika and vyavaharika, subjective and objective, comes into being and goes out of being. In Ishwara, the vyavaharika creation, the Ishwara Srishti, comes into being and goes out of being. From the standpoint of consciousness, there is no coming into being or going out of being. There's no objectification, you know. And so there's one subject, you know, and in a sense one object. The object is maya, is the whole maya upadi made of infinite parts. But there's the subject, consciousness, and the maya upadi. We can look at the maya upadi from the vyashti, in the individual level, or the samashti level, but it's still the maya upadi. You can look at the maya upadi from the vyavaharika, objective shared reality, or pratibhasika, the projected, you know, individual, subjective reality, all exist within maya. You say maya is the multi-dimensional manifestation, jagat, right? All of which is mitya. That's why it's important that when we're in the Drik Drisha Viveka, seeing differentiation, both the physical of the waking state, the physical world that I, and Vyavahara, the Ishwara Srishti, which I experience through my sense perception. I do a differentiation, subject-object differentiation from that. Then I throw the body into the mix that's objectified. I throw the sense organs that are also given over to Ishwara. The mind is given over to Ishwara. The ahankara is given over to Ishwara. So the Drik Drisha Viveka, what it does is differentiate the maya upadi, both for the vyashti and samishti maya upadi, from consciousness. And then that consciousness, so that you don't end up with like a prakriti in the Sankhya, the prakriti, the physical, taking the prakriti as something that's separate from consciousness, then it's very important to see, you know, that actually this maya is something that has no being of its own apart from the consciousness. So that which itself comes into being and goes out of being, that has to be understood. Something that comes into being and goes out of being means its being remains. Being remains. When the maya is up, then it enjoys being. Right? Being doesn't come and go. Being is the truth of the maya. Being itself is the self of the maya. So that's where the satyam nitya, the karya karana. Karya karana is the cause, you know, the cause effect. Karana means cause, karya means effect. This karana, like the upadana karana, the material cause of this effect, is Brahman, right? The karya is what we call mitya, because there is no cause-effect relationship to have an effect that's away from the cause, because there's no second being. So if you say this creation comes from Brahman, Brahman is the upadana karana. It's not that the upadana karana, the material cause, creates, you know, another substance, another thing. And so that's why we say that cause-effect relationship is really one of satya-mitya. There is no real cause-effect relationship, because there's no second thing, you know. There's no second thing there. So that's, that has to be all unfolded. Drishav Viveka can leave you with consciousness versus the world. But without the Drishav Viveka, you can't differentiate the consciousness. That's what it's used for. That's why it's so essential to differentiate in your own self-experience what isn't changing, what is constant. You know, otherwise, because the identification with the body, mind, sense organs is so much, it's so total, that without some teaching methodology, you can't do the differentiation to recognize, oh, there's something in about me that is constant, that needs to be recognized. And then you have to see, what is the relationship of all of these experiences that I'm having to me? Are they something separate from me? Do they have their own order of reality? You know, are they a separate being, a separate existence, which I have to separate myself from, like a physical separation, and kind of leave the Prakriti behind, you know? Or what is the relationship to it? So then all of the dream analogy comes in to try to understand the mityatva of this creation. So here, we'll do a little bit more on this next week, but it says, therefore, how can I not be Brahman, who is Sarvajñam and Sarvakaranam? So we'll work on these next two terms more next week. Sarvajñam and Sarvakaranam. Bring out this Satyam-Mitya relationship. Because once you say Brahman is Sarvajñam and Sarvakaranam, the cause of the whole thing, you know, the material cause of the whole thing, then we get away from the Sankhya. Sankhya philosophy says that the Prakriti, which is their word for it, similar to Maya, the Prakriti, this creation, is a physical, real reality of its own that is beginningless. Yeah. And then Brahman becomes an individual Purusha, very, very different. And so you need the Sarvajñam and Sarvakaranam for the Advaita to recognize that Brahman, which is myself, in fact, is the very cause of the world and is Sarvajñam, all knowledge. So what that means we'll do next week. Okay? It's just bigger. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.